listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello and welcome. It's 2019 and the DMTF podcast is back in the place to be.
Yay!
Today we are... That's why you have all these great noises. We are at Simon's apartment.
Yeah. Looking out to grey skies and drizzle. It's not very nice out there, but hey, does it matter?
Better than Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. We have decided to skip the last three games of the Hidden Wonder.
Yeah.
Because we can. It's our podcast.
Yeah, we can do it.
If you start paying us money, we might think about it, but now you have to deal with what's given to you.
Suck it up.
How was your Christmas, Simon?
Oh, I survived. I survived.
Was there ever any question?
It was very nice.
What did you have?
What to eat?
Of course.
Well, turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Christmas pudding, so we didn't have Christmas pudding.
And on the 24th,
what do we? We usually have like a cold buffet sort of kind of thing on the 24th.
Mm-hmm. You and your kids?
On the night before. One was stayed in London, and one came down to be with us at Christmas.
And your mother-in-law, how's she doing?
She's okay. She's, 92 now? So
Simon's mother-in-law actually is German.
She is.
Which is one of the reasons his wife is so much more fluent in German than Simon is.
Oh, rubbish.
I know nobody asked, but we had sausages. You would have liked it.
Sausages? Mm. I like sausages.
My brother-in-law bought sausages.
Might go and get a sausage in a minute, actually. From munch on it.
From Frankfurt. They were pretty spicy.
Mm.
Kräuter.
A funny tale. It's nothing to do with football. At the airport, you have to have your bag searched and what have you. And stupidly, I forgot to take my MacBook out of my rucksack coming through security. So they had to go through the bag and what have you. And she fished out this pack of Caballos, because I'm rather partial to Polish sausages rather than German ones, curiously. And she joked about sort of taking sausages to Germany, Coles to Newcastle and all that kind of thing. But I did try to assure her that Polish sausages are much nicer than German ones.
She didn't buy it?
I didn't care, that's what I think.
The good thing is...
It was a good joke.
The good thing is you look like an old white man. If you had a beard and looked like a Turk, you would have been in jail. I'm telling you.
No. It wasn't coming into Germany, it was leaving London. But hey.
Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. So, apart from that, everything's all sort of fine and dandy, I guess. But if you hear some slurping noises later on, it's because I've sneaked into the kitchen and brought in a couple of Cabanas to eat. But that's just me. Normally I have to starve to death when I'm at Jan's place, but here I've got plenty of
supplies. You always bring your own lunch. And I bought you gluten-free snacks. And you drink my coffee and you don't even appreciate it.
No.
This is the last show I'm ever recording with you.
I do like coffee, but I'm a bit of a philistine, really. I'll drink most things. Yeah. Jan is now stuffing his face full of banana bread and trying to drink coffee at the same time, but I think he might choke. If you hear lots of loud noises and things crashing to the floor, it's because Jan's choking to death. Oh, dear.
If you hear static, I spit the coffee into my keyboard.
Yes, it's a scorching sound. It's half chewed banana bread.
Anything happen over the break?
What, apart from having turkey for Christmas Day?
Oh, I mean Hatter. You know, remember the
right? Okay.
The team from Köpenick.
What happened over the break? Well, I expect they had a break.
Nothing much, I say.
No. Nope.
You know, all the young...
It's always a bit nervous, I think, at the end of the Hinrunde, because Hertha having such an absolutely diabolical record of having the winter break and then coming back and being
shit.
Utterly shit. It's happened so many times, I'd really rather not think about it.
It's a great name for an episode. Utterly shit.
Yes.
That would have been the name of the episode when we had covered the three games of the Hinwunder.
That would have been a good one. For the missing episode, it was called Utterly Shit. Yeah. But we have got an appalling record of doing that over the years, so it's quite pleasant to come back from that break and not being completely depressed.
My wife seems to love me very much because she agreed to come to the first practice session with me.
Oh, really?
Or training, as
I haven't been for a while, actually.
It was fucking cold.
I certainly didn't want to go again. They did it yesterday, didn't they? And they got today as a day off, I believe.
Oh, I meant the first of the...
On
the 3rd of January, something like that.
Right.
I put some awesome coverage with pictures on our social media accounts, which are, Simon, at DMTF Podcast. Blah, 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 blah.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's the one.
Podcast.
Boring. Yeah, it was really cold and I couldn't even tell who was who because everybody was wrapped up except for Shelbred. I think he wore nothing but a thong or something like that.
Yeah. Well, he's Norwegian. Yeah. What can you say?
Simon is a fellow countryman.
I am not. What a lot of tosh.
Okay. I think match day 17 would be the way to proceed.
Right.
Let's reminisce about the Hinspiel, the one, you know, the match day one.
Mm-hmm.
Home against the Aufsteiger, relegated, promoted Nürnberg.
Yes, we've been there, so don't knock it.
That was a shitty game.
Yeah, it was a bit frosty.
The first game. The match day for one game, you know, back in August or whenever, when I was in Spain.
Oh,
I wanted to just talk about the... You know, because now it's a little bit, we can always see what happened then, where are we now?
I think you... Have you not covered that in your special edition podcast that you haven't released yet?
Oh, I haven't had... I haven't gotten the clearance to talk about it yet from you.
Oh. You need clearance?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I think Simon was hibernating or something like that.
I do that. I'm like a hedgehog.
Oh, it's not a bear.
But I don't eat slugs. What's the difference?
Yet. Never say never.
My hair needs to be cut, so I look a bit like Sonic the Hedgehog. So.
If you go to France, you can try the snails.
I've had snails. Oh. Yeah, right.
Ugh.
And frog's legs.
Ugh. I eat baguette.
That's as close as you get, is it?
Brie.
Brie's nice. Blue Brie's very nice.
I had pecorino yesterday. Well, why would you eat food that went bad? Seriously.
What, blue cheese?
Yeah.
That's nice. Tasty.
It's rotten.
Yes. Yummy. Waste not, want not.
Oh, by the way, I listened to some English football podcasts over the break, and we have to try to incorporate them more into other things, so we have to have some banter. You're Gary Lineker, and I'm the other guy. And no. Okay. Oh, Simon's face is very... Simon's doing the dumbbell legs. Right? No, but did you listen to the episode I sent?
Gary's a good lad.
I like him.
I won't hear a word against him.
I just don't understand why he is always replying to Piers Morgan, the piece of shit.
Well, yeah, probably because he's a piece of shit.
Was he always an asshole?
Yeah.
Because he used to have a show on CNN, right?
Yeah, it's a hobby.
Yeah.
In his case, it's a life's work.
Well, the good thing is I have blocked him, so I can only read the replies that Gary has. And oh, why do you bother? You could write so much nicer stuff about your time. And he was with Leicester. I remember him because he equalized in the 1990 semi-final game. I watched with my mom, and she said, "I'm never watching football again. It's so strenuous, and I can't take the."
I know what she feels like, actually.
Yeah. I think one of the most uttered things at my house, if we watch football, is, "Oh, I hate football."
Yes.
Or yesterday.
In combination, "Why do I do this to myself?"
Yeah. Why the fuck are we watching this?
Yeah.
Okay.
When it's good, it's really good.
There's a very, very good,
to be fair,
German football podcast. There's lots of very good German football podcasts. Especially, I would mention Damenwahl, our friends Henry Micha and Stefan.
Hello.
Who I think they have a podcast on beer, which sometimes in passing mentions football, if that's correct.
Yes, yes.
And I heard they're going to change the name to Grujicelov. I'm not sure.
Is that right?
It's been hinted at.
It's been floated, is it? Yeah. It's a possibility.
And the Rasenfunk, the very, 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 very good and serious honorable Bundesliga podcast by Max Jakob Ost and Frank Helmschrott, they received a very high honor last year. They got the Fußball Podcast of the Year. Mm. And they went to the we forgot about the Mercedes-Benz Cup. You know, this little youth tournament?
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't watch because they were losing. last season they won it. The other teams there were Atlanta United and Liverpool. So he ended up doing a talk with two guys who do the Anfield Rap, which is a very, very good podcast to listen to. The Anfield Rap. Fight it. And,
I'm warm to Liverpool. I didn't used to like them, really, very much.
I like Klopp.
To be honest.
I like Klopp.
Klopp's a good laugh.
Klopp for the Klopp.
I think he matches... He's got nothing to do with Hertha, but I think he matches the Liverpool sort of ethos really well. In a similar sort of way to Dortmund, I guess.
It's normal one.
It's almost like... Yes. I think he just matches that city very well.
Yeah, he has this hands-on, blue-collar, ethic guy, you know? Everyday Joe... In the trenches.
Sort of kind of hot on your sleeve kind of type as well.
And I think he gained lots of fans when he was between the Dortmund and the Mainz gig. And for the World Cup in 2006, I think, he did or 2010, he did the TV. He was a TV analyst and he was really good at that. You know, he was able to walk the thin line between talking about two nerdy tactics and explaining everything to the people, you know.
Yeah.
That worked pretty well. That's how I liked him.
Quite a small cookie, I suppose.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And he has new teeth. That's what my wife always... He got new teeth and he got new hair. And then
That made the difference.
Then his career took off, He got the Dortmund gig, he got the Liverpool gig, and he's on every fucking commercial.
Yes.
I think he has more commercials than Bayern München. That means a lot. Okay. Match day 18. Hertha BSC facing off against the FC Nürnberg.
Nürnberg.
Which we have to be grateful for because they gave us...
Interesting city to visit.
Why? Because of the Nürnberg laws?
There's all sorts of things there. I mean, they're sort of...
I wouldn't know.
Citadel bit is really quite pretty. Good Christmas markets.
In general. Tricky
to get to from England, though. I digress. Again.
Nürnberg. Yep. Just came back. I think they went down with Hertha in 2010 or something like that. Or 2012.
Mm.
And they haven't been up.
No.
I think we met them in the DFB Pokal at one point.
I've seen them
in December.
I've seen them play, but that might have been in the Zweite Liga.
I saw them play Union at the Alte Försterei.
Uh-huh.
And they lost in the 88th minute on a... Ooh, screamer of a goal.
Down for them, anyway.
But which players did they give us in the past?
Stark
and?
Plattenhardt.
And Plattenhardt.
And that's very kind of them.
They're really nice.
They're probably a bit sort of pissed off, really, having to sell all their best players for not that much.
Sucks to be them. Okay, we had the Max Morlock Stadion. I think it's one of the last stadiums that is named after a person, except for the Olympiastadion. Which will soon be the TD Arena, or can we say Alibaba Arena?
Oh, no, what was it? Dildo King?
Dildo
Stadium?
King, Dildo King Stadium.
That's the one, yeah.
Great. Max Morlock Stadion, 36,112 spectators, and our referee was Mr. Guido Winkman. Not Wankman, be careful.
No.
We had Rune Jahrstein, and the injury. List got shorter, so we had a Dreierkette. If you don't know what a Dreierkette is, you should definitely listen to the other podcast we're going to put out, which is going to summarize the Hinrunde. Stark, Lustenberger and Rekic. Rikik just had his first individual training session on the 3rd of January. So he just came back, and I remember at the press conference before the game, like 3 days before, Dali said, "Oh no, both Grujic and Rikik will not be able to play at all, and if they're going to play, they're going to start on the bench." So we had Rikik, and then we had Lazaro, Grujic, Meyer, and Plattenhardt. Duda was our lonely number 10. He scores when he wants. And Zeljko Ibišević. Not yet. Okay. When he scores. Substitutions. Darida for Grujic in the 57th minute and Köpke for Zeljko in the 89th. So, Simon, did you watch the game? Because I didn't.
I did, actually.
Yeah.
It was on
BT Sport.
Good old BT Sport. So,
who was doing the commentary?
Just mentioned a biscuit.
Who's doing the commentary?
Commentary? No idea, I can't remember.
Some English lad.
Yeah, some English boy, that's right. It was, as I said earlier on, it was pretty damn frosty there.
The one of the boxes was covered in ice, right?
Covered in frost, yeah.
Yeah, that was
all a bit icy and a bit slippy. And it started off with Nuremberg playing from that end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jahrstein, being the fine Norwegian he is, was absolutely fine in the ice at the other end.
He was about to build a snowman?
Yes, he was. Got to keep occupied. It was pretty damn cold from the look of it all. It all started reasonably well, didn't it? In that we got the first of the goals.
But that, I'm just wondering...
It took a while, though.
I'm watching the rerun, and I also took some screenshots, which were I sent you, I guess. My question was, what are the center backs of Nürnberg? What are they doing for a living? Because they can't be defending. That was the worst.
Whatever the Nürnberg goalkeeper was called after that first goal, he was...
Martinha.
Absolutely livid. He was railing.
I think it was Martinha, and that guy was with Darmstadt. They got relegated. And then he came to Hamburg, who got relegated. And now he's with Nürnberg, and I think I know what's going to happen at the end of the season.
I think he might need to change his name somewhere or other. The relegation king. But he was absolutely...
Where did the ball come from? Was it again Lazaro?
Originally, I'm not sure. From memory, it sort of... Because it came up to Ibišević.
Mm-hmm. Outside the box.
Oh, well outside the box. It was, well up towards the halfway line, who then did a pretty neat, albeit simple, 1-2 with Selke.
Mm-hmm.
And Selke put it back to Ibi, who then just whacked it in.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the right-hand side. Keeper was...
Humorless.
Keeper was sort of left high and dry, really. What the defence was doing, I don't know, because it wasn't really fancy stuff. It was bim, 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 bang.
If you hear the replay and you see Ibišević running towards the sideline, you hear something like, "Leck mich am Arsch," because the goalie was upset and he yelled at his people and said something like, "What the fuck?"
as well you might under the circumstances. I can still picture him in one of the highlights afterwards, him absolutely railing. He really was not a happy chappy.
But, I mean, it was a, what do you call it, 1-2?
Yeah, 1-2.
Give and go pass.
Yeah.
Worst performance I've seen in some time by a defence.
Yes, that was spectacularly good. Because it wasn't really fancy. There was just so much space. And it was just bang, bang, right past the defence completely.
But it was quick thinking by Zeljko, who, after missing parts of the season due to his collapsed lung, he's really come back. The thing is, he scored a goal in Düsseldorf, but that was... After the game, he was asked, he said, "You know what, I don't really care about that goal at all." Yeah, he's come back big time, and he still hasn't scored a goal.
No, but he's involved in quite a few things.
Oh, yes.
Because he was very much involved in that one, and he was involved in the
He had two pre-assists in that game, if you're honest. But we're going ahead. Hertha's up 1-0. What does Hertha do in old Hertha fashion?
Hertha's always done. We're thinking, oh, this is all right. Well, that was a really nice goal. And, oh.
Let's wait. Maybe that's enough. Oh, my.
Yeah. You started to think that for a little bit, which Hatter have done in the past, and they never really managed to do it very well.
Well, I was out on a walk because I didn't feel like watching the game. And, you know, my wife's pregnant, so it's good to walk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we got home at halftime. So we got home, I turned on the TV, 1-1. Let's see. So I had, and I asked some friends, and Henry from Darmstadt texted me back and said, Hertha scores a goal and then refuses to play football for 30 minutes.
A bit like that.
Yeah, that's what they do. So halftime. Oh, no, then we got the equalizer. I forgot that. Who did that? That was Mr. Behrens. Yeah. Not Roy, unfortunately.
No, it wasn't.
Hi to Hertha fans UK.
Came from a corner.
Yes, 42nd minute. Momentary lapse of concentration.
Yes, yeah, so sort of. Amazing disappearing defence again, really. Because it ended up with the ball coming through to Behrens, and Lustig was about...
Everybody just looked at
about 4 foot behind him.
Yeah.
And he just had... Jostein could do nothing. It was...
The bowling pin defence.
A little bit like that.
Just don't move and see what... Mikado defence. I don't know.
They just watched him. I don't... It's more the... Probably... down to Lustig, that one, rather than the other guys that were in front, because he was allowed just to run in there and bang. So that wasn't pretty.
But it's always... But it was more of a lucky shot than a deserved equaliser, was it?
Well, the pass just cut through the defence completely. It wasn't particularly masterful. There was no trickery and bends involved. It was just...
Trickery?
It was just, not good. Especially from a set piece like that. I think it bounced around a little bit beforehand. And the corner came in and it went here or there. And then the pass went through to Behrens.
If you don't clear the ball properly, you're going to get burned.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You just need to hoof it out of there. But still... Went in at half-time.
Tied.
All square. Not a disaster yet. But thinking of a team that's sort of rooted at the bottom of the table, has got a
dead last.
Pretty bad track record of that kind of thing.
Düsseldorf.
Indeed.
Okay. So I think the game recommenced and there were no changes. And then Lazaro... He was able to generate some pressure over the right side because he is a stronger attacker than his counterpart Marvin Socks Plattenhardt. But he hasn't been pulling up his socks for the past two games. I've been watching and counting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ball comes over the right. I think he passes it into the front box, and then it somehow Zelke touches it, right?
For the second one, I thought it was I thought it was from Stark to Ibišević who laid it back.
I thought it was a Zelke Ibišević, but doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Ibišević, he somehow, but it was also some kind of a heel flick, right? He deflected the ball towards Duda,
who then sort of whacked it in.
That's the right word.
Whack it.
Damn. In. And you could even hear they have a microphone at the goal. It was kush.
It's a nice sound when it's the opposition goal anyway.
And what's the fun fact about that goal?
Oh, that is the goal that
clinched the clock.
Yes, indeed. So Duda got his Rolex. It was a bet, wasn't it, with Kalou.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he have to do? He had to score a certain number of goals. Was it 8 goals?
8 goals.
So he scored 8 goals.
To give him the watch.
Kalou would buy him a Rolex. Which
is in the 10,000 ballpark?
It's a fair amount of money, yeah.
Okay, so Hatter's up 2-1. And again, it's safe to say that the...
You can see that. You can see the presentation of the Rolex in the changing rooms. I think it's on Instagram.
It was.
It's probably everywhere.
It was a story. But I did some screenshots. Maybe I can post them later. Mm-hmm. It was cute. The thing is, just really shortly, Kalu picked a very I would watch it with my wife, and she's like, oh, that's a classy watch. You know, you can have the golden bling bling stuff, this is just it's a very, very relaxed, or what do you say? Understated green. Nice box, and there was a piece of paper on top.
From memory, it looked like a Oyster Perpetual Datejust. Wasn't with the fancy
Simon used to work as a clockmaker.
Diving sort of watch kind of thing. Yes, and from memory, it wasn't all blingy.
No, it was really cute and good looking. That's what I meant. And there was a note on top saying that don't promise something if you don't. I'm not going to do it. Number 10, I believed in you. Here's your watch.
Yeah.
And after the game was over, there was just to finish off the nice little anecdote here.
The watch story.
The watch story. All along the watchtower. A little story that. It was rumored that Duda was not going to accept the gift, but they would rather. Donate the money, but then Duda has somehow declared that he's going to accept the watch, and at the same time he's going to donate the same amount it's worth to some social or some good cause in his hometown.
Good for him.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, so Hertha was up. The defense was not really looking too good on that one either, right?
No.
But then who's going to stop Duda, who's come to play? Can't think of anyone. Game went on, and then we have the 70th minute. Once again, the ball comes over. I think there were two or three attacks that were not really dangerous, but close to a goal by Nürnberg before that.
Well, there was the possible penalty, wasn't it?
The never a penalty situation.
Never in this world, in my mind, was a penalty.
Yeah. I think Stark was just inside the box on the wing.
He was.
And that guy kicked the ball, and he was still running, so his hand was...
It was in a perfectly natural position.
Yes.
And
he hit him from, a metre away.
Yeah, it was so close, and the ball went straight at his hand.
And the referee right away, he gave the sign,
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Because the hand was in a natural position, and it was in the process of moving backwards, trying to get it out the way.
I think the IFAB calls it football-specific movement, or something like that.
It's not as if you were sticking it up in the air or anything. It was it was just down there as it would be.
Were they processed by the players? I'm not even sure.
I think it was a bit of a fuss, yeah. But
The fans. God bless you.
It wasn't going to go anywhere, because it clearly wasn't a penalty to my mind.
And then shortly after, again, Lazaro bringing up the ball, somehow lobbing it into the box. He does that pretty well. He did the same thing on Friday night. And then it came to Zelke, and then Ibišević did something great by not touching it.
That's right, Yeah, Zelke passed it through, and he sort of skipped over it, didn't he?
To leave the whacking to... Andre Duda once again.
Because it went through like a forest of legs, this thing, you know, with a sort of passive assistance of Ibišević.
And now, Simon, you may sing the song.
Duda! Duda!
It's not a song!
I'm not going there.
Number 10.
And bang! And it goes. Very similar sort of in a goal in some ways. Not the build-up so much, but the actual sort of scoring of the goal was very similar to the...
I feel so bad for Martinha. Because he did a really good job all day, and then he got these two crackers.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he was alone against Ibišević. I mean, many, many a goalie have lost that challenge.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. So after that, it was pretty much cruising to victory.
It was, really. I remember. Once there were two goals up, then.
Yeah. I think Nürnberg, they were trying hard, but they were trying.
They weren't really getting anywhere.
I remember Davy Zelke missing... Oh, he just hit the bar. Not the bar, but the upright.
Post.
The post, yes. Hit the post. Game over. All go home happy.
Yeah. 27 points in the bag at that point.
Yes, and it was the first time that Hertha won their first on the 18th match day since 2009. Back when Hertha was on the verge of becoming champions under Favre, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifetime.
That's actually when I started going, 2009. Long time ago.
Okay, anything else?
I used to not have grey hair before that point.
Seriously?
He's looking doubtful.
Pick or didn't happen. Okay, there were two news swirling by, but we're going to do that later. We're going to, right? There were two news items over the week, but we would just move on to the Gelsenkirchen game.
Yeah. And then Gelsenkirchen.
Gelsenkacken.
Kacken.
Kacken. Shit.
I know what it is.
Sorry. Oh, I think I have to switch a little. I have to uncheck the box that says family friendly.
Yes.
No mature language whatsoever fucking ever.
Ooh.
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 Language. Okay, Simon, match day 19. BSC and that team from Herne West at the Olympiastadion on a Friday night in January. Fucking cold. Minus 4 degrees Celsius, which is a minus 7 wind chill. And I checked it for my American friends. It was 24.3 degrees Fahrenheit.
Great. And it was a bit chilly. It didn't feel as cold as I thought it was.
Unlike now, Simon was not wearing shorts, which I was. Which shows that he's just a half blood.
Yeah, I'm just a wimp.
Speaking of which, he's wearing shorts now, I'm just getting my jumper.
What?
I'm cold.
Oh, I don't know.
I think Simon just drinks so much whiskey each day that he
that's probably
just has the.
Yeah.
The fire of nice. Odin, I don't know.
Nice drop of Lafayette. Well, they'll keep me going.
That's why you like your coffee so much.
Oh, you wouldn't put whiskey in coffee. No,
Is there a word for Flachmann in English?
I don't know what that means.
It's this little silver flask you carry.
Oh, a hip flask.
Yeah, a hip flask.
Hip flask.
Hipster flask.
Just a hip flask.
When I was living in Atlanta, I gave one to my friend for his birthday, and it said, "What would Jesus not do?" I really like that. Trading off again.
Support Schalke.
Olympiastadion.
Sorry.
43,027 spectators.
Which?
Including some lads from the United Kingdom.
Yes. How to UK.
Some Brexiteers, as you will.
What?
They left Britain.
Exiting Britain, anyway. Yeah.
Hertha UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Anna. Wasn't she Anna, no? No? Tomb Raider, no?
What are you talking about?
I think her handle used to be Ha-Ho-Hat.
Who is it?
It's
Ha-Ho-Hat,
isn't
it?
Maybe it's her Instagram.
You're getting me confused now.
These young people and their social media.
These young whippersnappers.
Okay. Referee was the venerable Felix Blich, who I would still say he had a horrendous night.
Yeah, it was.
He had three touches, which is bad for a game.
For a ref, that's quite bad.
Okay. Hertha basically had the same setup. They had Jahrstein in goal, Stark Lustenberger re-kick. From the right to the left, Lazaro Grujic, Maja Plattenhardt, Duda as number 10, and then we had two strikers in Ibišević and Selke.
Ooh.
And then what happened? It started off well, and then
it wasn't so much.
but it was what we call in German a Sunday shot. On the wing, on the right wing, or left wing, if you're Gelsenkacken supporter, they. Konoplyanka got the ball.
What happened? There were two defenders. Duda being
Stark.
One of them. Was it Stark? I would have guessed it was Stark.
And you ran away, and then Duda was supposed to take over, and he.
And he didn't.
He thought, oh, that's such a nice guy. We come from former Eastern countries, and maybe I just. Oh, shit, he scored a goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was
The goal itself was quite nice. from a my opposition father, point of view.
My father-in-law said it was a reverse Robin from Konoplyanka. Because he moved inside and then shot with the right foot.
Yeah.
And one trick pony, Robin, always comes from the right to the left and shoots with the left.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jahrstein had no chance whatsoever.
He's sort of curled in and he had no chance. And
maybe
the customary silence befell the Olympiastadion.
Some noise from the guests then.
Yeah. To be fair to the people from Gelsenkirchen.
No. Why would I?
Fair play. Yeah, the guest block was pretty full, wasn't it?
Yeah, because because they're all unemployed. They don't have to work jobs.
credit to where it's due. There was a good bit of support for the away bots.
Yeah.
A goal down. I thought, oh, great, this is wonderful. Coming in here.
Hello, Rückrunde, my old friend.
freezing our butts off to go and support Hertha, as you do. And then that happens. But hey, this is not the Hertha of old.
The jury's still out on that one, I guess.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, and it was really cold, and my feet were cold, so I figured, hey, why don't we just go for a walk around the stadium at halftime? But I wanted to relieve myself, so I said, hey, I'm going to leave a bit early because there's always a big rush in the few minutes preceding the halftime whistle.
That was for the second. Oh, well, that, I should say that was for the fourth goal where you went walkabout.
No, I missed three goals, actually.
What?
I didn't realize that. No, I left in the 39th minute. On my way to the restroom, I heard a noise. And the noise was mostly from one end of the mat of the game. So I figured,
I was blissfully unaware of this, gentle listener. Jan sits behind me, and I was probably had my hood up as well, which didn't help matter. So
sorry, I missed two goals. I left in the 44th minute, and then I heard the Oud goal. But we should talk about the Grujic goal before that.
We should, yes.
39th minute.
Yeah.
Dardai after the game already called it the goal of the what's 10 years?
Decade.
The goal of the decade by Hertha. Oh, which is an understatement, I'd say.
Yeah, it was quite neat.
Say the least.
Duda involved again.
It was basically Zelke again. He was sharp that night.
Mm.
He usually works hard, but he worked harder.
Mm.
And he had a great vision, vision of the pitch.
Mm.
He did clever passes I would never imagine him to be able to do. I don't know what...
That whole move was pretty smart, actually.
I don't know what they've been doing over the Christmas break.
Yeah, they could be practicing some...
But these things look really... I think it's already Dortmund-like... Mm-hmm. How they're moving the ball. And they're a bit like...
I mean, it hasn't always worked, but they've been doing some pretty slick things, which is
yeah, but it's not nice this centre-back, goalie, centre-back, centre-back, goalie, long ball.
Oh, God, long balls.
Here they come again.
I hate long balls. But,
I had crosses. Anyway, Hertha won the ball somewhere near midfield... And the ball came to Zelke, or Zelke recovered it, and then he passed it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you had, I think, a triumvirate of Maya, Duda, Grujic running towards... And I think you only had two or three defenders back. And Arne Meyer came over the left in a... He was better this game. He carried the ball with some sort of swagger into the box, and then he passed it over to Duda.
Duda.
And then on the right-hand side, you had Zelke. On the left-hand side, you had Ibišević. But Duda just stopped the ball, and somehow with his heel...
Yeah, he back-heeled it into the path of Grujic.
Who just bam.
Yep, absolutely.
Whacked it in.
Bang, indeed.
Lots of whacking going on these days.
Lots of whacking, yes. Whacking is good.
Yeah, awesome goal. And we're all even again. We got a ball game.
Yeah.
But then, Oud. Mark Oud, who was transferred from Hoffenheim before the season. and who was having a shitty season so far, he somehow scored, right?
He did.
I don't remember that. But I think that Rune Jahrstein also was pretty much without a chance. Wasn't it a corner?
Well, the thing is, there was a bit of a build-up to that, though, because up at the Nuremberg end, Selke was pretty much sort of blocked off and fouled at the far end. Nothing was given for that. And Selke was going sort of a bit bonkers because, you know, he didn't understand why they didn't get a free kick from it. And while he was still sort of, you know, riding on about that, it came down to the other end, didn't it?
Oh, there was a little fighty-fighty thing going on.
So it was, that's what the build-up was. Because Selke was still sort of riding on about that, really. And then the goal happened. So people were still sort of going on about what happened to Selke, and then almost straight away. Because Pal Dardai was going bonkers on the sidelines. In fact, the ref had to go over to... He's not usually like that, is he? He was absolutely railing.
No, he was going...
He wasn't shown on the TV.
He was going Rumpelstiltskin, I'd say.
And the ref came over and spoke to him, and there was lots of sort of finger-pointing and things going on and stuff. But
to be fair, he had a point.
Well, absolutely he had a point, but I was sort of slightly worried that he was going to get sort of sent off from the touchline for a moment there.
For arguing?
Well, it happens sometimes. If somebody mouths off, depends on what you were saying, I guess. But you know, you've got to be slightly worried when you see fingers being pointed in the direction of refs. I mean, sometimes they get a bit...
I mean, Dade basically started yelling at Rikic after the goal happened or something like that. And then we figured, oh, 2-1 down.
Here we go again.
Going into halftime. And we know how Juhata has this uncanny ability of not bouncing back after halftime. So we were well on our way to go for a walk, and then all of a sudden we heard a noise. Good thing was that we were right in front of the VIP area where there's a glass door and we could see all the TV screens.
Big screens.
So what happened? Somehow Zeko got the ball.
It was Lazaro, I think, sort of passed it on to...
Oh, yeah, he chipped it into the box.
Yeah, and then Saka picked it up to the Venator.
And he did a Germany would say soft as butter. His cross was, I don't know,
just the right
way. Flew on angel wings. And Ibišević didn't put much pound. He just was well placed that Nübel had no chance of ever reaching it. And I think it was also the latest goal Hertha has scored in the past season was 45+4. And right afterwards, there was a halftime.
Which is quite a good time to score, generally speaking.
Pretty neat, yes.
It's good for you, and it's a bit demoralising for the other
and
team.
And shitty for them.
Yeah.
That's how we like it. In the second half, we had substitute... Schalke lost quite a few players. And we were
pretty... They were substituting like crazy,
weren't they? We were pretty lucky that Brich, while having such a bad night, did not realise how Schöpf was fouled. Because I think... Rieke came in with his open sole and kicked him somewhere around the same area where Gruit was severely injured. Was really, really above the... down here was the...
I can't see it underneath the table. I don't know what you're pointing at.
What's this?
Ankle.
It was high above the ankle. And he's totally stepped on it, so he had to be subbed off. And I think they... in the short summary on Kicker, I just read Schalke salvage a point but lose three players. Yes. So in the second half, Hertha brought in Kalou for Ibišević, who had a few chances but blew them.
Safe
to say.
He didn't cover himself in glory that particular game.
And then Darida came on for Duda in the 87th minute. And Mittelstädt for Meyer in the 87th minute, and that was about it. Anything else that happened? Yellow cards, bad refereeing. Oh yeah, all of a sudden we had a video assist on the stadium thingy.
That was really quite close to the end, wasn't it? There was a bit of a bun fight in the Schalke goal.
I think it was Hertha ball and it was a shot on goal, and then I just saw that the assistant held up his flag, so it was an offside, and there was some racket going on, and people were hitting their arms and hands because they claimed there was a handball involved, but because it was offside, it didn't even matter.
No.
So you had the video assist sign, and it was okay, maybe Brich is going to go and have an off-field review, on-field review, but he didn't, so...
I'm not quite sure what was going on there, to be honest.
So the game went on and nothing happened.
And that was that.
I think Selke had another aluminium hit, as the Germans like to say.
Hit the woodwork.
Yeah, but it's aluminium now.
Well, you still say hit the woodwork.
Whatever. So Hertha, I mean, it's good for us to...
There was a cracking save from Jahrstein.
Two near the end.
One of them was a humdinger, one-handed.
Yes.
Tipping it over. Ooh,
my goodness. The other one looked like a volleyball move.
Yeah.
It was one-on-one.
He saved our bacon so many times. Thought that was going to be a goal, but...
He should be in jail.
For
all that bacon stealing he's been doing.
It's a cracking save, it really was.
I mean, whoever comes after him, he has big shoes to fill.
You've got a tough act to follow.
Oh, no, he has big gloves to fill. See what I did there?
Oh, very clever, yeah, very clever.
Okay. Use the loo. I had to tinkle. And we had a discussion about the German healthcare system and the English, which I learned they don't have one. Strange country.
I think we do, actually. Okay. Luckily for me.
Let's not talk about the clusterfuck known as Brexit. Not going to happen anyway. We have some questions. Thank you so much for pretending to care for our podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Graham. Hope you're listening. Hope you're liking the show. See you next week.
First one we got in the stack here is from
a certain
friend to the podcast, Patrick from Canada.
Long time listener, first time writer.
Bonjour. He says, not quite related to the matches, but what's a song you play at the end of each podcast?
And I was like, what song is he talking about?
Well, it was recorded in the Europa League match in Bilbao.
In San Mamés.
Indeed. So in the sort of Hertha or away block.
Simon in shorts.
Me in shorts, yeah. Well, it was Spain. Yeah.
Spain. Basque country.
Apologies, listeners.
What did you drink
in the Basque country?
Did you have the what did you drink there? About wine?
They had some very passable red wine there. Yes, they did. And it was quite one of the days was quite hot. And I went to a cool courtyard square and had a glass of fino. Very nice it was too.
A what?
Fino. It's very dry sherry.
Sherry.
Very dry. Not that sweet nonsense there. Yeah, they're very dry. It's quite nice with fish, actually. There you go, it's just me. But that was very nice. Nicely chilled.
Simon's new episode of Simon Eats.
He does quite a lot.
Go to www.simon.eats.
Eatinglikeapig.com.
And you can donate.
I haven't bought that domain yet.
If you donate more than $10 or euros or pounds, you can pick something Simon's going to eat.
No, you really can't.
I donated and I'm going to pick pig's feet.
Oh, Trotters, there's something wrong with that.
Okay, so back to the thing. I think the song, if you want to call it the chant, is called Wir wollen Hertha spielen sehen. And if my internet skills are up to par, you will have listened to that part in the long version before this block. So here's your answer. If you want the lyrics, wir wollen Hertha spielen sehen. Ganze Kurve singt im Chor Hertha. Aufgezählter schießt ein Tor, right? That's basically Simon is playing with his little teddy bear.
Yeah.
I'm playing with Coutinho.
One of the teddy twins.
I'm cuddling. yeah, if you want to hear more about the songs or Liedgut or what would you call it, the lore? No.
You could put a thing up on the website about it.
Yeah, but I can put up a link because there is a good website for that. Harlequins, our ultra group, they have this little thing.
Okay.
But if you have more questions, dear listeners,
add back to the notes and we can stick that link on. Done.
Simon just did this great leader of the pack gesture.
Yes, yes.
Put it down.
Put it all there, yeah.
Show notes.
Finger down towards the paper.
HB, maybe.
It's a wonderfully high tech here, lyrics. Dear listener.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I have to get more pergament.
he's got a oldie worldie Hertha pad.
Lernzentrum.
It's got the old Hertha logo on it.
Yeah, like the coffee cup you offered me.
Yeah. It's ancient, that coffee cup.
Anywho. Yeah. So that was the first question. Done.
So you were quite close, Patrick, when you said it actually sounds like a chant from the Oskova. Will be sung there, but that particular recording was from Bilbao. So I think that one's pretty comprehensively covered now.
Okay, and what's next, Simon?
Next one... question from Brian Salah.
Mo Salah?
should we buy Grealish? What's the cost?
Yes. I don't give a shit.
Much. Too much is the answer too to much those two right, questions. Yeah. We couldn't afford it, could we? Realistically.
The thing is, you know what finance guys usually employ is, why don't we spend money we haven't earned yet?
Yeah.
Especially when, if we ever discuss the stadium, the new stadium.
We're not going there again.
Yes. Oh, by the way, did you read that? Bild-Zeitung reported, Bild-Zeitung reported that Hertha is already sending out invitations for the inaugural game at the new stadium.
What?
Yes. In 2025, was it? 25, yeah. But
yeah,
I think just hogwash.
Yeah, I'll take that with a pinch of salt, I think.
Oh, a kilo of salt.
Yes.
So what was the question again?
Should we buy Grealish? Yes.
Most definitely.
Is the answer to that part of it. And what's the cost? And
I don't care. How much money is he going to earn us when he stays permanently at Hertha? He puts everybody on a new level. He's the player we can never afford or can never buy, and we can never hope, even dream, to have a young player come up through the ranks and then play like he does. I think we've absolutely maximized that right now with Arne Meyer. And maybe who else? Maxi Mittelstädt.
You don't know that. I mean, somebody's got superb natural talent and they just happened to come up through the Hertha Academy. The trouble is, you had something like that was really, really that good.
I mean, we sold Brooks for 25 million. That was good.
Yeah.
Maybe if we can get rid of Plattenhardt and then find somebody who's stupid enough to pay money for Sinan Kurt. And then
come on.
And then we sell Kalou to China or the US for 40 million. And then we might have a chance.
Yeah.
Or we offer Liverpool a swap. They give us Grealish, we give them Sinan Kurt. And Alex Esway.
That'd be a good deal.
AE7 for us.
That would be a good deal. Who for? That's the question.
Oh, shit. No.
I mean, it's not impossible, I guess, that
but
they might extend the loan.
Yeah, but the whole thing is not in Hertha's hands. It depends on... And that's the only hope, the little glimmer of hope we have is if they have too many good... Because Grealish is with us because he wasn't good enough.
Hmm.
Simple as that. Or there were too many other players better than him at the moment on the squad.
Yeah.
And if the first team keeps playing well and nobody gets injured, they might not have the need for Grujic. Yep. And that's the only chance we have.
Well, they're riding high at the moment, Liverpool, aren't they? So
pretty high, yeah.
I guess that is good news for Hertha, but we will see.
We just have to support Liverpool from now on.
I mean, there is a related question to this, because...
Is there?
It's it says only Ha-Ho Anna. I always thought it was Ha-Ho-He Anna, but I got that wrong.
No, she can't afford the Ha-Ho-He.
Yeah. If we lose Grujic after just one season, is it possible to find a replacement equally as good for a good price?
No.
Unlikely.
That's a short answer, no. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
unless you are mind-numbingly lucky, or they found some rising star somewhere that nobody else noticed, which is not impossible, but pretty unlikely. We did very well getting him, really.
They even have Origi. Fuck. They're loaded. I'm just looking at the... the squad for Liverpool to see who's ahead of him, and it's quite a few players. Fabinho, Keita, Wijnaldum, Henderson, Milner, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Mané. Mané maybe not. They are loaded.
So it's not impossible that he'll stay on, but.
Yeah. Well, that would be the dream. Could go anywhere with him. Champions League, win the league, win the world. Oh, no.
There was an article on Reuters, I think it was, about describing Hertha as Champions League hopefuls or something. Yeah, that's I thought it was very flattering of them to say that. I mean, the number of points... down that sort of bottom end of that range is quite tight, isn't it? It's just a few points and things in it, but so I guess it's not altogether outrageous.
If I can come back to the Grujic question again, his market value. He came from Belgrade with 450k. Then after joining Liverpool in 16, he had 4.5 million at the age of 20. And now at age 22, the move to Hertha has already increased his market value to 10.8 million pounds. And his contract runs out in this year.
Oh, that's
interesting. So if they can't agree...
Well, the thing is, his view might be...
He loves it here.
He would rather be... a star here than
in the Bundesliga.
A bench warmer in Liverpool. I mean, I would clearly understand that.
Yeah. So.
Actually.
But I don't want to get my hopes up.
No, but. I mean, I would have thought it would have been more than that, actually, to be honest, but I'm not complaining.
I mean, I don't see anybody who we could transfer for who would be able to match Grujic. And be available at our small pocket money.
Our price bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
that.
That's the answer to other questions.
Is there anything
there's another one. No, she says, if we do lose Grujic after just one season, is it possible to find a replacement equally as good for a good price? And will Reiner's departure in the summer make a big impact? Who can replace him? And that's part of the two other points we still have in our show notes. One being Dardai's extension, and the second being the info that came out in the time between training camp or whatever they do, the training resuming. No, help me, please. I'm getting stuck in grammar.
The resumption of training.
Yes, resumption of training. But which had been, I think I mentioned that in the other episode too.
What, Reiner going?
Reiner Wittmeier was, he was the co-trainer of Babel, right? Yeah. And then when Bubble was let go, he had one match and one Pokal match, a cup match, and when as head coach, and he gave one of the greatest press conferences ever. He was totally on fire and he had so much fun. And he was really grateful and everybody loved him. And then he had to go because he was let go. And then he came back. But he's from Stuttgart.
He is.
Stuttgart area. And his family lives there. His kids live there. So he's basically either commuting or living in a hotel here. And his former club, VfB Stuttgart, has asked for him to become assistant coach. And he has asked Hertha. And
it's been talked about for, it's been floating around, isn't it, for quite a while, this. So and this wasn't exactly a surprise.
Yeah, so Hertha says, no, we're in the middle of the season and we don't want to let you go, which is fair. I mean, right? Especially since he wants to go to a
rival.
A rival. Okay, maybe not. They're not competing for the same height, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's leaving. And the question is that good? Is that bad? Simon, why did you chip in here?
He's been here for a long time now. Sort of most of the time that I've been following the team, really.
Yeah.
Seems to be a bit of a fixture.
He's been called the brain of Hertha's tactics.
And also this adds stability to have somebody that's been around for that length of time. The only other person sort of there that's been a similar, I mean, Lusty must have been there for a similar sort of length of time. I guess he's pretty long standing.
Lusty came in with Favre.
Yeah. And it was young though, wasn't it? He was young.
He was 17, 18, something
like
that.
Yeah, I thought he was, perhaps 18. Yeah.
He had the funny mop of hair.
Yeah, he looked really, he looked like a baby, really.
Still does.
He's one of those sort of quite young looking people anyway, but, you know.
He looks like my son.
When he was that age, he really did look young, but, he's been around for a long time as well. But,
very long time.
And stability like that is a useful thing to have around. I guess, as always is the case, it depends a little bit on who steps up to
the plate
to replace him.
We still have the other coaches in the goalkeeper's coaches, Joel Petri, who Dardai wanted to have because he served under him when he was the national coach of Hungary. He came from Hoffenheim. And then we have Amir Hamzagic, who's the other assistant coach. That's about it. So the question is, how much impact is it going to have? I'm going to be really sad when he leaves because he's a really, really great guy and I love his interviews and his enthusiasm and his whole demeanor is really great. I have to make a mental note to talk to him after a practice and tell him how much I loved him and how much he's given the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good guy. But I can completely understand the reasons.
Family.
That would, yeah. Who would replace him? I don't know.
Some guy.
Hopefully a good guy.
A girl would be nice. Why not?
Could happen.
In Berlin kannst du alles sein, sogar Trainerin.
Indeed.
Yeah, that would be a nice thing. Anything else, Simon? No.
Not that I can.
What's up next?
Think.
Oh, Wolfsburg, right?
Wolfsburg, yeah.
Yes. We drew them away. We're going to. Oh, injury update. Tornariga was back in practice, but he had something. Some little thing. So he didn't play.
Yeah.
Card is still out with a broken ankle. I haven't seen Klünter, but who still hasn't played any significant minutes at all.
Yeah.
Maybe he has played in the Telekom Cup, which I have not seen.
No, I didn't really watch much of that. I didn't watch any of that. It's
just funny how people get upset about the Hertha played in the Telekom Cup, which is basically just a meaningless exhibition match, and they played abysmal, losing twice, and people get upset about stuff like that. They go, what? Why?
No.
It's a stupid exhibition match.
Yeah, it's just a bit of fun, really, isn't it?
It was only 45 minutes.
Yeah, so... They might have lost a kickabout in a car park somewhere as well. I'm not that bothered about that either. But that's just
or
me.
Or them matching...
No commitment, that's what I'm trying.
Them matching up in futsal or whatever these young guys play these days. Or what's that shooting game everybody plays?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Fortnite.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's where all the guys get their celebrations from.
Yeah. Never played it.
Yeah, it's not Simon's cup of tea.
No.
I only play Assassin's Creed, I'm so sorry.
I'll ask my son if he plays it, actually, because he was fairly good at that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, he... Simon is very too modest to mention, but his son was a pro gamer, or how do you call that?
Yeah. Paid to play.
Playing, get paid for, well... You know what they say. You know what they say.
He spent a couple of months in California.
Do what you love, and you never work another day. Blah, 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 blah. I think it's about time we stop this show.
Yeah. We are rambling, even by our standards.
Okay,
yeah.
And we have another home game coming, so does that mean you're going to be back next week?
Yeah, I'm here for...
Or are you leaving at all? Or are you leaving tonight?
No, I'm going back tomorrow, so I've got a gig to go to in London.
And this work thingy, right?
Yeah,
stupid.
I've got to work a few days next week, which will be fun.
We can pimp you out and we can sell you to, you know, these manager seminars, and you can talk to them about winning and...
No, not really.
No.
I don't think so. It's not going to happen.
Suffering with Grace by Simon.
Yeah, but,
of Hertha podcast fame. Okay, we're gonna be back next week, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
We won't be able to say anything about the Pokal game because I'll be leaving the following morning. I think.
Pokal game? Sorry, I'm just checking.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah, but when?
That's Wednesday night.
Oh! Yeah, it's in my... in here, yeah.
That pesky sort of football thing, you know.
That's one of those games I just don't really want to see, do you?
Well, if it ends up like it did the last time, then yeah, I do want to see it, but I suspect it won't. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did they play already?
Yeah, we beat them 2-0.
No. Did they play on match day 19, I mean?
The Bavarians. No, I think they're playing today.
Oh, they're playing today. Mm. Stuttgart. Tough challenge. Okay, we'll be back next week.
All right.
It'll
be just the one game, won't it? It'll just be Wolfsburg. Unless you want to record that and then tack on something.
We'll see how the game goes.
Yeah.
So, Hertha, you better play a good match if you want us back.
If it goes badly on Wednesday, we'll just gloss over that. Pretend it didn't happen.
I'm just going to quietly delete all the social media profiles and give back the website.
Yeah.
Okay, Simon can be found on foosballmusings.com.
Yep.
And...
Not that I've blogged very much recently, I must confess, but hey.
I think the last post was from the 1930-1931 season.
Yeah, we were doing well then, though.
It would be funny to write fiction about that, like you're a fan who travelled with the team.
That's random. That really is random.
You just remember when players couldn't be subbed off? And then they had to play injured. I mean, we would have totally destroyed Gelsenkirchen the other day with three guys out.
Yeah. I thought they were going to use all their subs by half time at one point. But they didn't. Anyway.
4 points.
We digress. 4 points. Beginning of the Rookrunda. Can't be bad.
So, do you guys have a great week?
All right.
You have a safe trip home?
All right.
But it's not night. Do we say good day from him or good night from him?
What was it? It's about three o'clock in the afternoon.
It's about tea time.
So it's good afternoon from... no. Oh, can't be bothered.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.